Welcome back to that 590 show. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line as a writer for yardbarker.com and fansided.com. You can follow him on Twitter at CheapSeatFan. Matt Whitener, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. While I was watching the home run derby last night, even though I know he lost in the first round, but every single time I saw Giancarlo Stanton hit a dinger out, you know, just almost out of the park, I'm like, man, I want him. I know he's on the DL so much, and he strikes out a lot, and he makes a lot of money, but damn it, I want him.
Well, I don't blame you for it. I think you've probably got about 20, 25, I don't know, maybe 29 other cities that'll be down for that too around the league. So I get it, but yeah, he's a different type of talent. I mean, you know, there are a couple of guys that stood out last night, but you know, just like what you're talking about right now, that presence that he brings, that immediate feel like the game could change whenever he takes a swing, that's something that very few people have on that level, and it was awesome to see that.
The Marlins being for sale, I understand why they want to, you know, shed as much payroll as they can to kind of bring the price down and make it a little more attractive to potential buyers. But the thing with Giancarlo Stanton is that there's the face of the franchise, someone you can market around. And I've heard Dan Le Batard say this, and I laughed when he said it. He goes, there's not an organization that leaves the world more in parents explaining to their crying children why their favorite player doesn't play on their team anymore than the Miami Marlins.
Well, if they maybe that could turn around if you get Jeffrey Lurie out of there, because yeah, I mean, you know, how many guys? Imagine if that was going on. You know, if every time you turn around, Josh Beckett's gone, or Miguel Cabrera's gone, or Giancarlo Stanton's gone, or Edgar Renteria, just on and on and on and on. I mean, I guess the conversation about why Jose Fernandez is gone is a little bit different, but yeah, I can imagine that. There's a lot of kids that would have a hard time following that team.
Well, and it was that year where they flopped when they opened up the new stadium and they, you know, changed their name from the Florida Marlins to the Miami Marlins. And then, you know, you bring in Mark Burley, you bring in Jose Reyes, you bring in all these big players, you're spending all this money. And then Ozzie Guillen, the manager, says something about how much he loves Fidel Castro right in the middle of Little Havana. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're just selling off assets left and right. It didn't even last the year.
Yeah, you know, because remember back in that time when all that was going on, that was the same offseason that Albert Pujols left. That was right
Absolutely.
After the 2011 championship here. So, you know, they were rumored to be going there, but they brought in Jose Reyes, and they brought in Ozzie Guillen. They did all these things. The Marlins are really big at trying to make these big, splashy things, whether it's putting the taxpayers in Florida on the hook by the time that thing goes and done, or whether it's going out and adding a lot of guys and then just selling them all off. Tell you what, wait them out a couple of years, and you can probably get something out of there. And I mean, the Cardinals, you know, outside of just Stanton, there's a lot of pieces on that team that would work and fit into the picture for this particular team here. It really just comes down to whether the organization is willing to give up the type of players it would take to get those guys, as well as carry some of those commitments over on this payroll.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today, and when we had Rob Raines on last night from STLSportsPage.com, they both seem to think that they wouldn't have to give up a whole lot of assets if they're willing to take on the salary. Now, what would you rather do? Would you rather take on salary than give up assets, or would you rather give up more assets and take on less salary?
Well, for me, it comes down to real simple. What does your team need? Do you think your team can compete? Stanton can opt out of his contract within the next 3 years. So, you know, if you think that you can win the World Series in the next 3 years, or the people that you would give up to get him wouldn't be helping your team in 4 years in a substantial way, then yeah, go ahead and do it. And money is going to be money, but paying $290 million, if he decides to opt into that contract, and with his opt-out, he can opt out before that thing really kicks up. And for the age he's at and history he's had, I don't think that I would be considering doing so. That's just me. Maybe he could get more. He's got the money that other people are striving to get locked in already, though. So if I didn't have to risk that, and I was could get paid $290 million until I'm 38 years old, I'm doing it, me personally. But if I'm looking to acquire that, a guy that's an outfielder, a guy that's kind of got a build that could be prone to breaking down long term, I'd have a lot of questions. But once again, if you think you can win, and you really think you can win, not just make the playoffs, but you can go the whole way, you got to do what you got to do for that, because those things pay for themselves in the long run.
And here's another thing you have to question too, is that, you know, are the Cardinals, this Cardinals team right now, depending on who you give up to get Giancarlo Stanton, are they a Stanton away from, you know, winning the division this year and the year after that and the year after that? That's the thing that I don't think is necessarily true. I think they're more than just Stanton away.
Yeah, well, you know what? This year maybe they're not.
maybe they're not this year, because it's completely up in the air. I mean, they're 5.5 games out. You're going into the middle of July. There's a lot to get accomplished here. And I think that this is the type of division that could be won by whoever gets the most aggressive in the next 2 weeks and tries to put together the best team. I don't know about you. I'm not completely sold on the Milwaukee Brewers going post to post with this thing the rest of the way. But I'm also not sold on the Chicago Cubs just magically being sleeping giants. They're just going to come around and take it. So if you're the Cardinals and you look at it that way, you know, maybe that's the move. And for me, when I get the temperature of what people always want this team to do, they want it to try, and then they want it to make a big splashy try. So I would think that if anything, it alleviates all of that too, and at least it gave an effort. But, you know, it is what it is. But for me, I think there's some other options out there that could be had at a lesser cost long-term, lesser risk, let's say, long-term, maybe a similar cost.
And do you think maybe a better approach might be like a more long-term plan to where, okay, you're not going to win the division this year. You may not win the division next year. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to add maybe certain pieces. And then after the 2018 season, whenever Manny Machado was up for free agency, you make a run at Manny Machado.
I think you can make a run at him. I think he fits. I think that for me, I look at that and I say there's a lot of risk in trying to take that approach, though. If you can trade for a guy and definitely add him to your team, you've got a bigger net potentially bidding against 29 other ones. You know, so, I mean, there is that. You've been down that path. You know, you could have traded, and you could have went after a David Price and traded for him and had him locked in and then negotiated from within. But then at the same time, you did that with Jason Hayward and it didn't pay out. So it's tough to say. I think that the Cardinals are a team that is one big piece away from being a different team. I don't think that this is a team that has a whole lot of more adding to do, that it can't either add to the team from within or get at a more reasonable cost. So, you know, if you want to play big boy ball, though, you're going to have the pieces to do it with. So one way or another, they have to add an elite bat, and I think you need to do it sooner than trying to simply just hedge all your bets on Manny Machado, because then what do you do in 2019 if you look up and he signs somewhere else?
That's true, but what I'm saying is after when he becomes a free agent, when he hits the open market, make a run at Manny Machado then, not making a trade for him, making a run for him and locking him up long-term then.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the risk of free agent.
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely a risk in that too.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. That's what I mean by saying that not trading for Machado. I'm saying that by getting involved in that ball game of free agency, it's not just a foregone conclusion that they're going to land here. For me, where the Cardinals are at right now, and for the type of need that they need and the type of difference they need, I think that making a trade and going after somebody that they're going to be able to absolutely get their contract handed into them right now and deal with the rest later, that's the avenue I think they need to be going down.
Matt, taking a look at the All-Star game a little bit later tonight, obviously not a ton of stuff around it this year. You know, they've taken away the game seven part about it, and people are now all wondering, how do you fix the All-Star game? But I took a quick look at your Yardbarker article talking about the guys you didn't really expect on the roster this year, and just there's two names alone that are going to have me turn on the screen just because I haven't heard of these guys really until the last month or so, and that's Justin Smoke of the Toronto Blue Jays. And then Avisail Garcia, the Chicago White Sox. Alongside those two, what are some other big names or some other maybe less heard of names that might draw people to the television tonight?
First of all, we've got three Mats on this show. That's impressive.
That's amazing. Love, isn't it? Giamatti, change your name to Matt. We could be the four Mats.
No kidding. Yeah, man. Come on now. No, but there's a lot of guys. There's 28 guys making an All-Star debut today. Actually, Yadier Molina's eight times or the most of anybody that's going to the game today. There's a lot of really talented players that play in small markets that I think have a chance to get some exposure in this game. One guy, you know, guy I love to watch. He's not as big of a star as he should be, but I think he can be, is Chris Archer.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Chris Archer is phenomenal. He's got the type of stuff that you see from a Carlos Martinez here. I mean, and he's got that experience. He's starting to get to that age where he's figuring it all out, and he's a really special type of talent. You know, another guy that's in the game, I'm going to go to a guy you just brought up. Justin Smoke is a good story. I think him and Zach Cozart are great stories, and they show that people were paying attention when they voted this year, that they looked at what people were doing on the field and said, all right, yeah, maybe Corey Seager's a better player at shortstop, but I think Zach Cozart's having a better year. And he's coming from a small market like Cincinnati. That impressed me. But Justin Smoke is a journeyman. You know, I mean, this is a guy that's just turning 30. He's a top prospect a decade ago. And now he's finally turned it on, and it's working for him. So I like to see that in this game. I would like to see Mike Trout. You know, I would like to see Clayton Kershaw. Those are the guys that you kind of want to see in these setups that you don't get a chance to. But, you know, I'm all for the All-Star game starting to become, you know, show the face of the generation that is changing over with. And you saw a few of those guys last night, your Gary Sanchez's, your Miguel Sano's. Those would be interesting guys to watch. But there's no shortage of players when you look at both these rosters that can be exciting and could change the tone of this game in a hurry.
You mentioned Trout. Quick question about him and another big star coming back from injury, Madison Bumgarner. These guys are obviously going to make a lot of noise in the second half, but do either of these guys make enough noise that we're talking about the Giants and Angels in any meaningful way come late August?
Well, no, you'll be talking about, I can't believe the Giants are still this bad
in late
August. I mean, they're 27 games out. They're not going to be catching the Dodgers or the Rockies even, who are the third-place team in that division, but have got a 7.5 game lead on the second wild card spot. But the Angels are in an interesting position. They played a lot better while Mike Trout was out than anybody could have expected. Anderson Simmons picked up his play. Albert Pujols had a couple of big games in there. They just started really – they were a team that reacted to the fact that said, all right, I've got to do more since Mike Trout is out. And now that they get him back, and they're only a game and a half back of that second wild card spot in the American League, who knows? But I think it's important that Mike Trout starts to play in those more high-leverage games because, yeah, he's the best player in baseball. I'm not even really entertaining any conversations to the contrary, but he is the guy that you need to want to have those October moments too. So, yeah, it's great that he's back, and I think that now he'll get to pick up where he was left off at and get to play some meaningful ball, and I wouldn't be surprised if he still got back into the MVP conversation by the end of the year.
Matt Whitener from yardbarker.com and fansided.com. And you can hear him. You're on the Midday Grind, I believe, this week, a couple days, correct?
Yeah, next week, I believe. Next Monday through Wednesday, me and Charlie are together.
Okay, great, because I know Martin, I think he's on vacation. So you can follow him on Twitter at CheapSeatFan. I know, Matt, that you're also a big fan of the fight game. Today was the press conference, one of four, between Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor. Now, Conor McGregor has zero chance of winning this fight, but there is not a better talker in the game than the Notorious One, and he did not disappoint today. In fact, we have a little bit of audio from this press conference here that Giamatti has ready. Are you ready?
I don't give a fuck if it's a ring. I don't give a fuck if it's an octagon. Put me in there and I'm going to kick ass.
Don't be talking shit. You do give a fuck if it's an octagon.
August 26th, I'm going to knock this bitch out too.
Yeah, really. I haven't knocked nobody out in about 20 years. Dance for me, boy.
Whoa.
Dance for me, son. Dance for me.
Hey, give me that backpack. Give me that backpack. Let me show you what a $100 million fighter look like. Still got $100 million, and then he never touched this.
That's it, a tax man.
You're right. I'm the IRS, and I'm going to tax your ass.
You're not going to do s***. He's in a f***ing tracksuit. He can't even afford a suit anymore. The Rolls is at 2012 outside. He is f***ed.
Why is Conor McGregor the best talker in the game?
I mean, other than him saying dance for me, boy, which I was like, hold up, dude, calm down. But
yeah, he corrected that quick, didn't he?
Yeah.
He very quickly said, down, sir.
I think Dana White said, stop that. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, I mean, it's great. That's what you expect from this thing. I think the big thing is that you look at it and you're like, man, this is going to be like a WWE match. Only they're
totally
really going to be hitting each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be an entertaining fight by any means. The fact that McGregor says he's going to knock him out by the fourth round, I say he better bring a chair with him. Or he better because it ain't happening any other way. You're probably not going to touch him until the third. But, I mean, you know, or either that or it's going to be a hell of a punch you graze him with. But, no, it's going to be fun, and that's what it's all about. two of the best. They're two best at what they do, and it's going to be. I think this is going to be a spectacle, and that's all right. It doesn't have to be a straight up fight. If you want to see that, wait for Triple G and Canelo a couple months after that. That's going to be a boxing match, but this is going to be a spectacle, and it'll be a good time. And these press conferences are probably as good as the fight's going to be, if not better.
Well, better. I think the fight is going to be an absolute bore, and I think these press conferences are the reason why everybody was, at least me, why we were excited about this fight. Last Friday, we had on Chris Van Heerden, who is the former WBO welterweight champion of the world. He sparred with Conor McGregor last year, and when we asked him about Conor McGregor's punching power, he laughed. Because everybody's saying that, you know, Conor McGregor, he's got a puncher's chance, and when I brought that up to him and asked him about the punching power, he kind of laughed. So I think the best chance that McGregor has on winning this fight is if Mayweather somehow forgets where the arena is and it's forfeited.
Well, yeah, that punching power, yeah, that's fine. Punching power is one thing when you're worn out. Now, the thing that I enjoy is that, you know, it's kind of pitting MMA against boxing, too. You've got these loyalists on both sides of the fence.
Absolutely.
That are going to ride really hard for their particular sport, and it's the superior form of combat. And then you've got, whether you like it or not, you're also going to develop a little bit of a racial divide along the way, too.
So oh, of course.
It's going to have everything you want. I hope it can be better than the Great White hype with
Samuel Jackson,
Woody Harrelson, and all those guys. But it'll be. I'm looking forward to it just because it's going to touch on all levels. They've got three more of these things. It's going to give some fantastic 24/7s on Showtime. So this is all I can ask for. This is the best thing that can possibly happen during this part of the sports year where there's not a whole lot going on. That's if you're not a big baseball guy. This is perfect.
That's exactly what I said. That was the gift from the gods. That'll give us something to talk about until, you know, NFL training camp and college football starts. Here we go. Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather, and them talking bleep to each other just back and forth. And if you're going to watch this fight on pay-per-view too, I heard you better save all your pennies because I heard it's going to be $90 to rent for the pay-per-view. It's going to be $90.
Yeah, that's probably going to have the worst dollar to actual sports value in the history of time.
There's no question.
You know what? Hey, might as well. Why not? If you pay a whole $100 for a fight at any point in your life, that's on you anyway. Nobody's sitting on. Nobody either. I'm not going to suggest that there's other less scrupulous ways to see fights if you'd like to. But also, nobody's sitting in a house watching this by themselves. This thing's going to be party central that night all over.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I will probably go someplace, a local establishment and watch it there because I don't think anybody I know is going to want to spend the money for it. So we'll just go to a bar and watch it there. Matt Widener from yardbarker.com and fansided.com. And you can hear him Monday through Wednesday next week on the Midday Grind with Charlie Marlowe and follow him on Twitter at Cheap Seat Fan. Thank you for your time, sir.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Matt. That is Matt Widener. Like I said, you can follow him at Cheap Seat Fan. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.